opposed, welcome. Thank you very much. Wow, kind of like, I don't know if I can live up to that. So just a heads up, before you came, even quite a few minutes before we came out, the internet wasn't working, so I didn't have this PowerPoint up here. So I don't know, do you control the clicks?
It's coming.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, so that picture up there is, I just want to tell you a little bit about me. That's my husband and me and our 7 grandkids. So they range from 18, Max, he's the oldest, down to Cam, who's 5. So with my husband and I, it's our 2nd marriage, and my husband has 3 kids and I have 1. My daughter is Abby. She's not in there. I forgot what picture I put up there. So she has the 4 kids. Lucy is 11, Jake is 9, Eli is 7, and Cam is 5. So it's step. And she said she said, I want more kids. I want lots of them so they can play together. So Larry and I have been married, I said, 17 years, and I'm going to give you our ages just so it plays out in the story. But Larry's 73, which he doesn't look 73 at all, and I'm 59. So he's just a little bit older than me, but we had some friends who at church, we told them that there was an age difference, and they said, so which one of you's older? I said, friend for life for Larry, and for me it's like, oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore. So as Diane was saying, I have been following Jesus, and I was figuring probably about 30 years. So several mission trips and been a children's choir leader and a youth group helper with that parent help. And also I've led and participated in different groups in the church. And the reason I'm telling you kind of a lot of this stuff, it plays into the story as we go ahead. So most of our life that Larry and I were married, we lived in a condo in Mason. So in the suburbs, and just loved it there. We had great neighbors, had street parties there, and just my mom lived right across the street, so it was really, really convenient. Let's see. So other stuff you already talked about, that I'm an architect and I'm a counselor, and also when my daughter left for college, that was a really tough time for me. So I decided to mentor a girl from Cincinnati Youth Collaborative at the time through Cincinnati Public Schools. She was from Madisonville, and I was with her for about 18 years. And then I told you about our student parties. So going ahead to the next, that slide. I titled my talk Simple Obedience because I thought this is about these steps that I've taken that I've heard God, not in an audible voice, but in a sense, or sometimes he speaks to me through thoughts, but it's taking a step along my journey of starting in Mason and taking his steps with him where it brought me to a new home and a new ministry that I never had before. So let me just check my notes here. So going on to the next slide, so this talk is kind of taking you through my steps, and I'll tell you about them, and then kind of what God has taught me through them. So it might get a little bit busy because there's a lot of steps, so I might just kind of gloss over some of them also. But the first one, which is pretty much the main story of it. So my husband, probably now about 8 years ago, I'm going to say, or maybe more like 6, he went on a mission trip to Mozambique, South Africa, and he had never been on one before. He didn't really want to go there. He went, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Heidi Baker. She has a ministry down there that's a healing, she's a ministry supporting the local people there in Mozambique, but also a healing ministry. So he wanted to be a part of that. So I didn't go with him because I just couldn't at the time. But he met somebody there at the time who he talked with a couple who they were from Jackson, Mississippi, and they heard God tell them to move from suburbs of Jackson, Mississippi to the inner city. And so we went, Larry and I went down to visit that ministry, and I had never been to Jackson. It's a very, very poor area. And so to see their ministry, it was really great to see, because at the time I was counselor in Over the Rhine, serving the poor down there, or homeless. And so I thought, oh, I can go down there and see what I can learn down there. So went there, we came back, and my husband Larry goes to me, we have to do that. We have to go and move to inner city. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I said, I don't know if I could do that. Well, he had been thinking about that for a couple years since he had talked with this couple. And so I was like, I don't know if I can do that, but you know, I'll take a step with you, whatever that is. So the first step was Jackson. The next step is saying yes to him and saying, okay, we're gonna ride around and look at different areas in Cincinnati. So we went to, and we wanted to go to poorer areas. So we looked at Avondale, Madisonville, Price Hill, Lower Price Hill, Westwood. And so as we were touring or going around, we met a police officer. Oh, Over the Rhine was the first one. We went there and met a police officer, and he said he's a local neighborhood police officer, and he said he knew a lot about the area and the streets there. So from that point on, OTR was the first one we went to. We went to the police stations, districts of the area to find out, and this was our where we wanted to move. We kind of said, so where is a place that you would tell your family not to move? Because we felt we were called to go into the poorer areas, and areas that we felt, we didn't say to police officers, but that kind of felt like there was no hope. So as we did that, you can go to the next, sorry. And then you can go to the next one after that. Was we read Acts together, Larry and I, and then read different books. And the one that really spoke to us and really guided us in what we're doing is the book, When Helping Hurts. I don't know if any of you read that, but that really guided us. I can see a few nods. That was really a really great book to read. So onto the next slide. So through that, it was, you could see, was hearing God tell us to go to Avondale. So there were many challenges for me, and I'm gonna just interject here with this, is that in my mind, I was telling you, I mentored a girl, and she was from Madisonville. So in my mind, I'm thinking, no, I wanna go to Madisonville. I know people in Madisonville, I'm familiar with that area. Though as I was sitting, and I have a practice, not every day, but most mornings, just sitting with God, talking to him. So I was talking about that, saying, I really want to go to Madisonville. This is where I feel comfortable. I know other people who are there, that I could be in ministry with there. And he was pretty clearly, no, not Madisonville. I want you to go to Avondale. It's like, I don't know anything about Avondale. Avondale isn't the North Avondale, it's the South Avondale part. They're very different. So it's like, okay, I'll take the next step and just look around and see the area. So the next is driving around the area, trying to identify where we're gonna go. So as we were down and talking to the police officer, he told us about different streets to go. And we went, he told us one, it's called Blair Avenue, Blair Street or something like that. And he said, that's really, one that really needs help. He said, but I have to tell you, there was a shooting down there just last week, and there's a lot of drugs happening there, and they hang out on the street. And he said, you know, don't make eye contact with them, because if you do, you know, they're gonna think you want something. But then he said, but if you don't make eye contact, they might think that, oh, you know, you just don't wanna do that either. And then he said, by the way, it's a dead-end street. And I went, whoa. We drove down there. Well, we headed down there. And I'm praying, okay, Lord, just protect us as we're going down. And we're driving down. And you know, nobody was out. I said, thank you, God. We turn around, and as we're coming out, I said, Larry, we're not living on a dead end street. I have my limits on things. So, but through that, we met somebody there. His name's Ozzie Davis. He knows Avondale a lot and just has been there his whole life. And so he, through the police officer, we met him, and he drove us around to different streets. So he's driving us around, and Larry and I both go down Hutchins Avenue, and we're both, this is it. I don't know, we both had that sense. It wasn't one of God saying, yeah, this is it, but just having that sense, feeling like this just feels like the right place. So then going down the street, it was identifying the house. See, and it's kind of one of not getting ahead of God and trying to figure out the big picture, just kind of taking the next step with him. So as we're driving down, I saw this yellow house on the right. I thought, oh, that's such a cute house. Now, cute, it has cute bones, but it's kind of in disrepair, and there's holes in the roof and all this, and the porch is falling down. But I thought, oh, I think that's the house. Well, I was just checking where we were on the slide. So with that, we tried to contact the the realtor who was selling it. Well, we took a month of trying to get in touch with them, calling and not getting an answer. So we finally said, okay, this is how we do it, where we live. We call our realtor and have them get in touch. So we contacted him maybe on Monday. By Friday, he had it lined up. And there was also another house across the street that we saw that we thought, oh, let's just look at that house too. And it had just come on the market. So that was next step. So through this, let me go to the next slide. Oh, you did already. So through this process, I've had two scriptures that are my guiding scriptures through this. The first one, as you can see, is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalm 27:4. And I don't know, can you read that back in the back? Is it too small? Okay. The second one is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, which is Proverbs 3:5. So through that, the first with delighting, you can go ahead and hit four times. First was a mission trip. So when Larry and I first got married, I had done several mission trips, and I really had that heart for it. And I was like, Larry, we need to do a mission trip together. This was probably maybe a year or two when we were married. And he kind of looked at me and said, that's not really my thing. And I'm like, I was devastated. I mean, we don't argue much, but that was really a tough point for us. So it's like, okay, I finally worked through it. Okay, we're not gonna do that. Well, so we went to Jackson and we came back from there and I realized, oh, we went on a mission trip. That was a desire of my heart to have us do that together. Then another was I've always wanted to be an architect. I thought old homes are just so interesting. I've always wanted to live in an old home. And I thought, oh, you know, that's fine. I'm not gonna do that again, but here I have this old home. And then also I thought when I have an old home, I want a house with a front porch, because that is just so inviting to me. And it's like, I now have a picture to show you of a house I have a front porch. And I always wanted to live in the city. So not in my mind as I was picturing that, it's not what we actually have and where we're living. But you know, God's ways aren't our ways, and just trusting on the Lord is what I had to do with each of these steps. So then going on to the next is I was thinking, so we're moving to the city. You know, Larry's 73, I'm 59. Why are we doing this? We're old. You know, what can we do? And then the other was just trusting in the Lord of what our mission is. So our mission through the reading the books and reading Acts when helping her, it's that book. Our mission is just to be good neighbors and tell them and show them the love of Jesus. Just, that was it. Not to have any plans or programs in place when we did that. So then the other, as I spoke before, was that we're going to Avondale, not to Madisonville. It's like, okay, I'm gonna trust you, Lord, with that step. And then the other is living in the hood. That's where we are. So then with that, the next slide will be a picture of our house. So I know you can't see it way back there, but it looks like it's a beautiful house there on the slide. Though it is, if you could get up close, the paint's peeling, the roof is sagging, the gutters are sagging, the porch is falling down. It's just a pit. That's what we call it affectionately. And you can see the top slide, but you can't see. The top slide is of the roof. There's holes in the roof, and there was lots of overgrowth on the side of the house. And inside, it was just kind of falling apart. It was a foreclosure home when we got it. So then the next step is to hire a contractor. So through, I was talking about O.C. Davis, who took us around town. He gave us the name of Tom Hargis, who is a Methodist, United Methodist pastor, actually. And he is a pastor of a small church, but during the week. So he has the opportunity during the week to be a contractor. That's what he does. And he trains people who are hard to hire, like people who have been in jail or they've been on drugs, and he teaches them the trade. So we thought, oh, we want to hire him. It'd be a house of ministry even before we move in. So then the next is that I got to draw the plans of our house and figure out how it's going to work for us. So I had to, we put in a couple new bathrooms because there was no bathroom on the first floor, and we needed a bathroom for a master bathroom, and then we moved the kitchen. So the kitchen was probably from here to there, pretty small, and it had five doors and two windows in this space. So it's like, I don't know how we can make this work. So, and I'm not even a cook. I don't really like to cook, so even for me that was too small. But so we moved that. So part of the redesigning was moving the kitchen. So I got to work on the plans of my own house, which was pretty fun to do. So then the next is that I had some friends who came during the construction process, pretty early on, and they wrote prayers and scriptures on the walls and the studs of the house. So the next slide will show some of those scriptures. You can see the roughness of the walls, but the first, the one on the, I don't know what direction
left,
that is of yours.
Left.
Thank you. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. That is 1 Corinthians 3:17. And then the prayer on the wood stud is, this house is beautiful, built by loving hands, lived in by loving hands, and being restored by your loving hands. Bless Larry and Patsy and all those that are part of your vision. And that prayer was written for the workers that would come and see. So the story about that is that one of the workers, his name was Corey, and he was working on the house, and then he just disappeared. Probably for 2 weeks, didn't know what happened to him, and this isn't uncommon with some of the people that Tom works with. So he came back, and when he came back, he said, you know, I had a friend who overdosed and died, so I was really depressed about that, so I just need to go away. But he said, I just felt really peaceful at this house, and so I just need to come back here and work. So I thought, wow, you know, these prayers just are, as we know, prayer works, but that just drew him back. So next is when we are moving in. So that process took, let's see, about, we bought the house in December 2016, and we moved in April 2018. So it took about a year and a half. And originally the contractor was saying, oh, it'll be about 6 months. So it was this tough. And I'm sure some of you have done housing projects and know how that goes. But I had never done one before, so it's like, come on. You know, it was one of having to be patient. That was really challenging for me to wait. And then with the workers, so they worked maybe about 4 hours a day by the time they got there and took their breaks, and then they didn't work every day either. So it kind of depended. And So that was a new process for me, and that was hard. That was one of really having patience and not having patience at times too. So then the next, and just let me describe a little bit about Hutchins. So we moved on Hutchins Avenue. Hutchins Avenue is a one-way street, not a dead-end street, but a one-way street. And it's probably about 10% of the homes are owned by people. Probably about 10% are boarded up, maybe a little bit more, and are vacant. And about 80% are renters. A lot of Section 8 housing. And probably, I'm going to say, this is just roughly, I don't know the exact number, but probably about 80% are on drugs, maybe about 50% are working, so, and it's 90% African-American in there, so, and then there's trash all around, you know, people, it's very different from being in the suburbs of people, they are just driving around and they throw their trash out on the ground, so it really took time for me to just mentally get in that environment. The other is that they love their music and their car stereos, so it's really, really loud. So I took some time getting used to that and just turning on the sound machine at night so I can sleep. But through that, then it's meeting our neighbors. And before we moved there, I was just praying for just a community of believers because I felt like, oh, it's just me and Larry going there on our own. So as we were in the construction process, there's this cute little woman. She's probably about this tall and just thin. She's 93 and her husband's 95. They live right next to us. They've lived in the house probably 65 years and have been married 73 years. But she would just say, every time she saw us, she would just lean out her window and yell out, God bless you, God bless you. You are just so wonderful. It's so great to have you as neighbors. And oh my gosh, I didn't expect that. And then if any of you have seen the movie War Room, if you can envision that woman, the older woman who was praying in her prayer closet, that's who Miss Annie is. She reminds me of. And so it was God kind of saying to me, okay, I have other people here who are believers too. And so the day we moved in, well, about a week after we moved in, a woman who lives down the street, her name is Vicki, we got a knock on our door, and she said, hi, I'm Vicki, your neighbor, and you know, I was praying this morning, and God just told me to come to your house. So she said she was having plumbing issues, and she said, I don't know who to call, and so God just led me to you to reach out to. So we were able to give her our contractor to help her out. So that just built me up of, okay, God, you are in the steps that I'm taking. So then the next is for us step that we took after being there probably 3 months was to attend the local community meetings that they have. And I think each neighborhood has a community council. So we went there and you know, everybody else, probably about 30 or 40 people, and there's Larry and I in there. So the president, towards the end of the meeting, she said, not in a harsh way or derogatory way, but just kind of asked us, so why are you here? Because we were light skin. And we said, well, we moved into the neighborhood and we're just wanted to come to the council meeting to see what's going on. So one of the board members, she goes, hey, do you guys go to Crossroads? And we're like, yes, we do. And she said, we were in a community group together. In Real Marriage, we did a group. And it's like, oh, that her name was Sheila. And we went and talked to her afterwards. You know, we were at a table group together. And said, oh, there's God just showing us again. We're taking the right next step with it. So next is the scripture guidance again that I told you about. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire to your heart. And with that, the first is to renovate and design my own house. So as an architect, that's always the dream that you have, to design your own home. So it was, and again, I thought, I lived in apartment with my daughter. I was a single mom for 16 years. I lived apartment with her for 11 of those years, and then in a condo. I moved in a condo, and Larry and I lived in a condo. So this was the very first house I ever owned. I was 58 and owning my first house, too. So that was pretty amazing. And then the next was that, and I told you about just having a community of believers was the desire I had. And then the next scripture, that's my guiding scripture, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So with that was that we were a mission site. So I told you I went on mission trips. Well, we became, at our house, a mission site for kids from Michigan and other parts of Ohio who came to our house and helped clear out our property. So that was really kind of strange for me to be having kids come and help me. But that was the Lord just showing me that that's what can happen. So then the next is that at the foundation of our house, isn't our physical foundation walls, but it's prayer and just basing our foundation and our ministry in prayer. So then the next was that I didn't think I would have a caring and friendly neighborhood, kind of thinking I'm just going out to this oasis, or not oasis, but this place where it's just Larry and I. So that was really, it built up my encouragement and trust in God too with that. So then the last was just, I told you about Sheila, meeting her at a community meeting. We thought, oh, we're not going to know people, and here it is, we know somebody. So that was pretty amazing to see. So then the next slide is, the next step is, so we go to Crossroads and was to have a conversation with people at Crossroads of what we're doing. And so we talked with them, and they gave us support and helped us kind of figure out what we're doing. But Crossroads is also partnering with Block Ministries. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Block Ministries. They're in Price Hill, and they've been there about 20 years. And they did what we did 20 years ago, which is moving in the neighborhood and just trying to love neighbors and do different things. So now they have a lot more things going on. So we have been able, Dwight and Stephanie Young is their name, we've been able to talk with them and get their expertise on things, what to do next and just kind of what to expect. So that was amazing to have that community also. So then another step we took was so on our street, at the top of the street is South Avondale Elementary School, and we thought, well, let's just go up there and talk to people up there and see if we can tutor there. So we went up there and they said, sure, we would love to have you tutor. I think it was about February of 2019. Is that right? Yeah. That we went up there and did that, and there were kids there that we tutored. And part of the amazing thing about that, the one child, I can't remember his name, that I was tutoring, we were walking down a street we don't normally go. And I hear, hey, and I look over and it's him, and I recognize him, and he recognized me. I didn't expect to be walking down the street and know anybody either, so that was pretty amazing. So then the other next step we took was to take some kids in the neighborhood to church with us, to Crossroads. So we met Miss Stephanie is her name. She's the matriarch of this home, and so this home probably has, I'm going to say, about 5 bedrooms, maybe. But there's her, and then there's probably about 6 to 8 grandkids, and then maybe between 6 to 8 adults. I don't know. There's just a lot of people in that house. But we met her and says, no, that there's lots of kids there. So we went to her and asked, hey, can we just we're going to Crossroads. Does anybody want to come? So they came the first time. We had 4, and since then we've had up to 12. So we take 2 cars, my car and my husband's, and just kind of pile them in, and we don't pay the, seatbelt law, because some of them we just put in the back to get them all in. So, but then sometimes there's less. But it's, if you can imagine, we feel like mother duck with her little duckling team on. Lots of them behind us, and it's kind of chaos. They're running all over because they love it. So that's been a lot of fun. Then the next is that we participated in neighbor events that they put on. So there's neighbors around us who want to do things for the community also. So we met Yolanda. She's two doors down, and she has such a heart for Avondale also. She grew up there, and she's lived there, and she was in a relationship with a drug dealer. I mean, she just knows the streets. So for us to know her has been amazing, because we don't know the streets. We don't know what to do or not to do, or what to say, or what's not even right to do. So for example, so Yolanda was doing a party for like a street party, not on our street, was up at a park for young people in their 20s, early teens, who are looking for jobs. So with that, she had a meal with them. It was really healthy food, fried fish, fried chicken, french fries, onion rings, and there were some grapes, so that was good. But we went to this store together to buy food for it. So we were there, and she's very, very friendly. So she saw this one man, he had a firefighter shirt on, so she goes up to him and said, "We're looking for fruit. We're wanting to buy fruit for this party that we're doing." She said, "So what do you think we should buy?" And she was saying, "What do you think about bananas?" And he said, "Oh no, don't buy bananas." He said, "I was at a party where there was a white man and an African-American woman, and he had a banana and threw it to her. And I guess that was really offensive to do that, because it's saying that, oh, a black person is a monkey," which I had no idea about. So just learning things like that, that Yolanda helps us with up to this day, is really, really helpful. Because things that we do that we don't even know we're doing might be taken as hurtful. So, I'm sorry you can't see these in the back. So these are some neighbor events that neighbors have done that we've been a part of. We haven't put them together, but just supported them in. And so one was car wash. Those are pictures on the upper two on that side. A woman this summer, she's a dancer. When she was younger, she danced. And she wanted to get kids together to just learn some dancing. So she has about 50 kids that just do dance routines in the front yard, and she needed to raise money, so they did a car wash. So we just kind of supported the car wash and helped them do that. And then this other picture, I don't know if you can tell, it's a long line of people, but this was an Easter egg hunt party that Yolanda put together, and we just helped with it. And she had a bouncy house and DJs and that healthy food again. And but the amazing thing she did was she, in her own house, cooked and colored over 2,000 eggs to hide for the kids. And she had somebody say, "Well, why don't you just do plastic eggs?" And she said, "When I grew up, my mama cooked eggs and colored them and hid it for us, so I'm going to do that for the kids." I just couldn't imagine. So that's what that event is, and just helping her with that. We help serve. So then the next slide is the next step that we took, which was a big step for us. And this was one that Dwight Young from Block Ministries suggested that we do, is set up ourselves as a ministry and as a nonprofit 501c3. The reason to set up as a 501c3 is that we realize what we're doing, we can't do on our own with our own funds. We're gonna run out of money. So we might at some point ask people to help sponsor different things or help support us. So then you can be tax deductible with that. So that's the reason we did that. And so that was May of this past May. So what is that, just 2 months ago that we did that. So it's really, really new, and you are the first group to ever hear that. So yeah, you're the the initial group. So our name is, we came up with SALT Ministries, and that stands for Serving Avondale, Living and Transforming. So we felt, you know, the scripture of being the salt, salt and light, and that could kind of stand for that too, salt and light together. But feeling that we can be flavor, God's flavor for Avondale. So, and our vision with that is to be, it hasn't changed from the beginning, to be good neighbors and tell them and show them the love of Jesus. And though we realized that we can't, it'd be really hard to do all of Avondale, so we're focusing on two streets, our street, Hutchins Avenue and then Lexington Avenue, and just focusing our efforts there. And then the other is just to instill hope in Jesus for that. So next, next slide is, the next step we took was to decide, and this was, let's see, beginning of June, we did a water fun day for the kids. So we have this lot next to us that is an empty lot, and we thought, oh, we can, when we were initially dreaming about it, we can use it for a garden, or we can use it to do who knows. But we never thought we'd do this. So this was a suggestion from Block Ministries for us. He said that kids just love water. Well, we know that. I didn't need to be told that. But that just set up the side yard with a big slip and slide and sprinkler and a volleyball net and beach balls and water balloons. And we had a cornhole out there. So kids came, probably about 10. And there were a couple kids that we didn't know. We went around the neighborhood and just invited kids, and they came, they had the best time of just being in the water and playing, and one child said, this is the best thing I've done all summer, which it's really about the only thing they've done all summer, really, to be honest. They do other things, but that was amazing. And afterwards, Larry and I said, I don't know if we had more fun or they had more fun. It was just so much fun to see that. So then, the next thing that we are going to do, it's on the schedule, it's a movie night. So Yolanda, I told you about Yolanda, but she's doing a movie night for the whole Avondale area at a park, so we're gonna help her with that, and then we're gonna do our own movie night. Probably show Lion King and just invite the kids over to the lot next door so that they can just hang out and have some fun, eat some popcorn. So with that, we want to continue to build our next, you know, step to take is just continue and build more relationships. So we did a cookout. Oh, did I miss that? Did I talk about the cookout?
No.
Okay. The cookout, Larry and I, we went into it doing the same thing, getting the food and all, but we kind of had this different idea of what it was going to look like. So we got hot dogs, tons of hot dogs, and some chips, and some drinks, and some popsicles, and had it in the front yard, and thought that it's, well, this was Larry's thought, as people walk by, we'll just hand out hot dogs and do that, and just be neighborly that way. And I was thinking, oh, I thought we were gonna go and invite people, so we're out there Sunday cooking everything, and nobody's walking by. For one thing, it was really, really hot, and I'm not a heat person, I'm just sitting out there going, oh, I'm dying, I'm dying. But then we realized, okay, let's just go down the street. I said, let's go down. I'm going to go down to Vicky's house and see if she's home. And Larry went to another neighbor's and went to another neighbor's, and none of them were home. But as we were walking down the street, we saw two guys hanging out in the front porch and invited them. And their names were Doug and Tony. And Doug was like, oh, that's so great. He said, you know, I have some hot dogs to give you if you want to use them. So I'd say, okay, thanks. And I said, we said, come on down if you want. A little bit, we'll be cooking hot dogs. So they came down probably about 45 minutes later, and they were talking to us. We talked for about 20 minutes, and as Doug came down the street, he brought some paper towels saying, yeah, I thought you could use these too. It's like, oh, well, thank you. And so through that, we just met new people. So it's just continuing to meet more and more people. So the next step, you can can't see this in the back. It's a house, and the inside of the house is the staircase, but you probably can't see it. It's all kind of run down and needs a lot of work. But that is a house that we felt it was vacant and went up for sale. And through Block Ministries, they told us to, if we can, if we're able to purchase some property there so that we can not control the neighborhood, but, you know, and people who we want to move into it, if there's people that are trying to make something of themselves work and kind of rent a home and do that, we could do that, or even having a space for kids to come and hang out. So just by God kind of saying to us, buy that house, we bought that house. So we own that house now. That's just probably about a week and a half ago that we bought this. So this is all new stuff that's been happening. And it was one, again, of it doesn't make sense, but okay, we feel that's what you want us to do, we'll do that. So these are my guiding scriptures again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And with that, we are grandparents, and that we are spiritual grandparents to these kids. That was something that we wanted to do. And then another desire was that our grandkids, that you saw a picture of, some of them are now getting involved in what we're doing and being part of the Water Fun Day or helping clean up and different things. And then also the desire was to have a community of believers, which I feel that that has been happening. And then trusting in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, though that people recognize us now and are accepting us, and that also that kids just want to hang out with us, which we thought, why would they want to hang out with us? We're old. But the big one is trusting God is purchasing, or that we're a nonprofit ministry, and then going with that is purchasing property that we don't know what we're going to do with yet. So then connecting, continuing to go. Excuse me. Then continuing just to connect. Didn't help. Continuing to connect with neighbors is what we want to do still. So in the next slide, I just threw this up. Just so you know that different, if you are interested in hearing anything that we've done, would be interested in helping us out or sponsoring anything, we have different neighborhood events that we're doing that I told you about that you would have that ability to do, or with our property that we bought that we don't know what we're doing with yet. We do need lawn equipment, and we need people to help clean up the area and the inside also. And then we also want to help our neighbors do their outreach that they're doing, so they're just sponsoring their events also. So with this, I would also ask for prayers from you for us, and they would be for us to continue to develop more neighborhood relationships, and then also prayers for, we're praying for a vehicle to transport neighbors, and then possibly prayers for acquiring additional property for what we don't know what we're going to do with it yet, but just getting that. And then prayers for maybe more neighborhood events, what those might look like. And then for us, for me in particular, just simple obedience, just taking that step. And when I say simple obedience, it doesn't mean that it's easy, but it's clear. You know, you can kind of hear or sense from God. It's clear what you want. And then doing it. And obedience isn't just kind of blindly, okay, I'm going to do it, but it really stems from a loving relationship I have with God, spending time with Him, and hearing what He's saying, wanting to do it because I love Him, and we love Him so much. So I'm going to skip this next slide. You can keep going through this. Okay, so what I wanted to talk with you about for just a moment is that you know, through this, if you just look at my life where I am now, it's like, wow, how did you, I mean, I would have no idea I would be where I am right now just by the first step that I took. So, you know, it could seem, and I tried to not, I said I tried, it didn't always happen, but I tried not to project out of what this could be, because it could be really overwhelming to think, but I'm going to be in a 501c3 ministry and buying a house. And if you had told me at the beginning, I would have been, no way, I'm not signing up for that. So for you, just wondering if this sparked anything in you of feel God's prompting you, sensing you, however you sense God or hear God, if he's saying something to you, what that step might be to just take a step. It doesn't mean you're going to go all the way out, but just take a step. And if you know what that is, just share it with somebody that you know and you trust that could encourage you in that step. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
For your property just yesterday. But so we have three homes. We thought, think that we would have three homes. And they aren't what we thought there would be, but we always said, oh, we're never going to have, you know, we think you have a home here and a home there. We said, oh, we're never going to do that, but now we have three. Thank you.